I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, joining me now on the Danny Parkin Show, the radio.com app, CBS Sports Radio. You should know him by now if you've been listening to this show, the Yahoo NFL podcast, Yahoo senior NFL writer, Therese Paylor with me on the show. Therese, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, Danny, how you doing, man?
I'm great. I love talking football with you, and I have to be honest with you. I've probably thought about your training camp report from Ravens training camp.
Yeah.
10 times this season, because nice. that story, man, where they talked about why can't Lamar Jackson win an MVP, and he's natural, and the confidence, and the Pat Mahomes comp, like it's just ringing so true to me, and he's the best thing in the NFL so far this season. What do you think we're watching in the midst of watching here with Lamar Jackson?
So the reason that they all felt that way, and I'm glad you brought that story back up, the reason they all felt that way is because in today's NFL, the ability of the quarterback to make something happen, to make a play when there isn't one, to create, and also be able to throw. You got to be able to throw, but to be able to create with the run game and create a throw is so important. The game has never been easier to throw the ball. Like, they've legislated defense out in a lot of ways, at least until it gets to January. So during the regular season, you know, your quarterback has to make plays. Like, average quarterbacks aren't doing it anymore, you know? Like, you're not going to get in the game manager, man. Like, we're beyond that point in today's NFL. It's so offensive heavy, you got to be able to create. So that's the thing we're seeing from Lamar Jackson as a creator. He's unbelievable. It's basically Michael Vick's running ability. And as a passer, like, the things I heard on that trip really opened my eyes. I mean, listen, they were telling me, hey, listen, it's not like he doesn't see the field. He's got great field vision. They gave me multiple examples of times where he would see, like, the third and fourth read, like, where he wasn't even supposed to get to on the read, you know? And he's getting to some of those. And they've done a really, really good job being creative with their run scheme, Danny. The Ravens run scheme under Greg Roman, and he's one of the guys I talked to in August. It's really multiple and varied, and it's, you know, no matter what you choose to try to take away, they're going to punish you. They're going to punish you because they got these big tight ends that can run and catch. And if you try to match up against the tight ends with size, you can't catch up with Lamar. But if you try to put the speed on the field to neutralize Lamar, they're going to bludgeon you downhill with Ingram and the tight ends. There's no right answer as long as he's connecting on enough passes to keep you honest.
Yeah, and I don't think we're close to scratching the surface. And the argument of it can't be sustained and he's going to get hurt is falling really flat with me, Therese, when half of the teams in the NFL have had to use a backup quarterback already this year. Like, maybe he gets hurt, maybe he doesn't, but it's not like he's uniquely positioned to get hurt. All these guys are getting hurt.
Here's one other thing I think is really important. That's a good point. Here's another thing I think is really important to remember, okay? It's not like there's some dearth of running quarterbacks in college right now, okay? Like, they're going to be coming here, right? You're going to be able to find guys that can kind of execute this, because college is pretty much going to RPO, spread game. Quarterback got to be able to hurt you with his legs. You know what that means? That means that your second and third quarterback should be able to be pretty decent, because colleges are developing these types of guys. And by the way, you don't need Lamar Jackson to be healthy for 16. You just need him to be ready, healthy for most of them, and then the playoffs. So if it works, it works. And in the NFL, that's what matters. They're winning on Sunday. And their run game, their varied run scheme, it really is fun to watch. And he is a dynamic talent. And as a creator / playmaker, I really hope people, you know, really give him his due. Like, the whole, he's, you know, the best running back I've seen. It's infuriating, to be honest. So I'm glad people are starting to give him his due.
Yeah, and you were all over it, man. It was a great story from training camp. We're talking to Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports. So the AFC is set, right? It's got Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, quarterbacks of the future in that conference. If I said 26 and under quarterbacks in the NFC, so that's Dak, Goff, Wentz, Kyler, Daniel Jones, Trubisky, Haskins, and you had to say best young quarterback in the NFC is who?
Okay. So Dak, Goff, Wentz, Tyler, Jones, Trubisky, and Haskins. Okay. Dak numbers have been really good this year. He's really developed under Kellen Moore. I like what I've seen. I wouldn't put Goff in this situation. He just needs too much around him to be well, to be really rolling for him to like function at a high level. I don't like that. Like, I want quarterbacks that can create even when everything around him is not great. Wentz is pretty creative. Wentz kind of has some of that too. He can make stuff happen. I'm really high on Kyler Murray. He was my all-juice quarterback last year. He's done a really good job for like what that team has. That's not a very talented team. Jones is okay. Trubisky, we know where he's at. Haskins has to show a lot more. So I think, you know, between Dak and Wentz and Kyler is like a third, I think that'd pretty much be it for me. And, you know, whether you want Dak or Wentz depends on what you're trying to accomplish. But it's between those two.
And the AFC just seems to be clearly ahead of the NFC there, right? Like, that AFC group is just much better than the guys we just named.
It's loaded. It's loaded, right? Like, how good are you feeling if you're the Chiefs, if you're the Texans, or you're the Ravens right now? Like, you're just like, hey, you know what? We're going to be great for a decade. Like, Watson had a bad day, but he was hurt. He had an ankle injury. And, you know, but he's fantastic. Like, basically every other game this year, he's always done a lot of really special things. So, yeah, I mean, we're trying to figure out who's going to be, you know, the Rocky to Mahomes is Apollo. You know, Mahomes already won the MVP. We're trying to find out who's going to challenge him. Is it going to be Lamar or Deshaun? I mean, pretty good chance it might end up being both of them. Like, the AFC, from a young quarterback perspective, is just completely stacked.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And all right, so I got a young quarterback theory I want to run by you.
Yeah.
And Haskins is making me think it.
So
Goff's development seemed to be stunted by playing him early in the system that he wasn't going to ultimately be in, right, when he played with Jeff Fisher before McVay got there. The same thing clearly happened with Trubisky. He had to play in three different systems in 3 years, the North Carolina year, then the John Fox Dow Loggins year, then the Matt Nagy year. And we see that it's really stunted his development both physically and maybe more so mentally. Haskins doesn't seem to be ready. Why play him before you find the offensive coach that you're going to pair him with? Like, I have no problem playing Kyler Murray early when you have Kingsbury. I got no problem playing Daniel Jones early when you've got Pat Shurmur, because whatever you think about Shurmur, Shurmur's at least the offensive coach that's going to be there for a while. Like, what are they gaining by playing Haskins in a system that he's not going to be running next year?
So here's the thing. I understand it, and I agree with it. I think it hurts the quarterback when they've got to learn something in year two, because the problem is, like, year three, there's, like, real expectations, as we're learning with Trubisky. Like, there's real expectations, and you feel better with 2 years under it than just one. But the reason, like, these guys are playing is because, you know, Washington is going to evaluate the quarterback position. Like, whoever they hire to be the head coach might want someone else, right? But having the tape of Haskins playing right now against NFL defenses and seeing how he reacts to being the guy and learning his work habits and seeing how he prepares, like, that's information that can help you kind of, like, make that decision. That's why, though, like, but you don't understand, like, at a fundamental level, I don't disagree with you. I think when you draft your franchise quarterback, you better make sure that the coach that he's going to have initially is going to be his guy for the first 3 years, because you got to be able and in position to make a decision on this guy by year three. Because guess what? After year three, you got to make a decision on the fifth-year option. That's a big decision in the first round. That's a huge decision. And you got to be able to make a decision on the extension, right? So, you know, it's important that guy has all the advantages possible. And Mahomes has had him, right? He not even just have Andy Reid, he had Andy Reid for his whole career. And that's not to say it can't happen if you don't have that guy, but I do think it does hurt. And when you do play these guys, when these bad teams are playing these guys, it's because they got to see what they've got, just in case they got to make another evaluation on the quarterback position. Like, so, because, hey, look, at the end of the day, we don't know who Washington's coach is going to be next year. He might not want something. He might not want Haskins. And at that point, you're going to be pulling Arizona and trading them, right? Just like they did with Josh Rosen.
Yeah, no, that is definitely a good counterfactual, the Josh Rosen example. I watch a guy like that. Like, if it was Deshaun Watson, right? Okay, play him. Guy had 30-plus starts in college. He was clearly ready. If he had to change coaches early on, he'd be able to deal with it. But guys like Haskins and Trubisky, who seem to be more like projects that you're projecting long-term, I feel like it really does a disservice to those guys. Josh Rosen maybe being another example of it. Like, you're putting them behind the eight ball to succeed, and I know that the team has to put the team first, but I feel for these quarterbacks who go to terrible situations.
Well, how about this, though, right? I don't know if it's just that. I think we know that for a quarterback to develop, like, you need, like, a lot of things around him to go well. Like, there's got to be talent around him. The protection's got to be okay. A quarterback mind, someone that calls plays, continuity, familiarity, like, that matters. Like, all these quarterbacks we're talking about who struggle kind of in these situations, right? Trubisky with Fox, Rosen with Steve Wilks, Jay Gruden and Haskins. Like, these are bad situations. Like, these are bad situations in general for the quarterback, you know? Like, I don't know how much of them struggling has to do with them playing as it is. Like, they're behind the eight ball because they're in a bad situation in general. Like, you got to change the whole system now because there's a new coach coming. It really stinks. It's really unfortunate. And the worst thing in the world I hate is I hate seeing really talented quarterbacks go to bad situations where they're not going to get the continuity and familiarity they need to pick things up as quick as they need to pick it up, because they don't wait for you in the NFL. Like, not for long. That's real. And I like Haskins is a player I like. Like, that's a horrible situation in Washington. Good luck. Almost anybody. Like, it took a veteran like Alex Smith to even be functional there. And then what happens? The quarterback goes away, and that's a guy who knew everything about winning, knew how to win, played for Andy Reid. All of a sudden, what? They can't win a game. It's really tough, man.
I want to ask you about your Lions before you get out of here. We're talking to Therese. I know. Therese Paylor, the Yahoo NFL podcast with Charles Robinson, is a must listen. Read this man's work at Yahoo Sports. So Stafford's awesome. But now it's back-to-back years with serious back injuries. He's 31, and it looks like they could have a top-10 pick in a good quarterback draft. They clearly have huge problems defensively, but these opportunities to draft in the top 10 don't always come around. Like, if you're running the Lions, are you drafting Stafford's successor, letting him sit, and then trading Stafford in a year? Or are you still trying to build a winner around Matt Stafford?
If I feel good about the quarterback I could potentially get in the top 10, you always do that. Like, just from a football theory standpoint, if you're drafting high and you're really in love with a quarterback, you take him, right? You just take the guy, and then you deal with the Stafford conundrum later. You know, at the end of the day, he's got a ton of cap, you know, dead money. Like getting rid of him is not going to be easy, okay? You know, you get rid of him next year, that's $26 million of dead money. You know, in a couple years, 2021 is pretty reasonable. You can save $20 million by trading or cutting him, okay? So, yeah, if I'm the Lions, like, ideally, you know, you fall in love with a Justin Herbert or something. And I'm not saying I'm a fan of the player. I'm just saying in general, because I haven't dove into the draft stuff like that yet. But if you fall in love with the quarterback, Joe Burrow, whoever, you say, okay, we can afford to sit him for a year, let him watch Stafford for a year, and then make a decision, you know, after that about Stafford. We can trade him. And he will have value. And there's a lot to be said for being able to build a team from years 2 to 4 on that rookie contract, because it's going to be really cheap, and Lord knows they need the help. So I do think that's a decision they'll have to make, and if they really like one of the players in the top 10 as a quarterback, that's something they should look at.
All right, 60 seconds or less. I can't have a football dork like you on and not talk any defense. Whose defense is better, Patriots or Niners?
Oh, my God. Okay. I think the 49ers would have had a real strong case before Quan Alexander got hurt. Their nickel defense was incredible. The pass rush, the marriage of that with the speed on the back end. But I'm always going to pick Bill Belichick. I'm just going to do that. You know, they're doing some great things defensively this year. But both of them are a lot of fun to watch. And it's really cool to see, because it's just so hard. It's so hard to play defense these days. So I'm glad some people are still getting after it.
Therese Paylor, read his work at Yahoo Sports, listen to his podcast with Charles Robinson. It's good stuff. It's informative. It's funny. There's a lot of fact-based reporting that goes into it, film study. It's a good listen. Therese, always appreciate you, man. Thank you for the time.
Hey, anytime, Danny. Thanks, man.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze. Let's love.